George DeLong, chapter 3. DeLong sailed cautiously below the borders of the Arctic ice pack. He had scoured the horizon for days now, looking for a route through the ice and into the fabled open seas of the North Pole. A voice bellowed out from the crow's nest, "There, there, a channel with open water, there." And DeLong realized his moment was upon him. Could this be it? If this was indeed the long sought-after open water route to the north, then DeLong's name, his ship, his crew would be the talk of the world, the last great names in the age of exploration. The crew boldly steered the ship into the channel, but quickly realized their error. In under an hour, only ice could be seen in every direction. Their options were dwindling. They had been seduced into the ice pack, and now, clawing their way forward, the lanes and gaps were closing up like the jaws of an enormous steel trap. They tried to maneuver the ship this way and that, but it was no use. On Sunday, September 7th, 1879, a large floe of ice shoved the Jeannette onto a shelf of ice. Other floes quickly tightened around her, and in just a few minutes, the Jeannette was completely imprisoned. Her steam engine panted and spat out thick plumes of smoke as she desperately tried to free herself, but the ship would not budge an inch. The ice had her in its teeth, and it would not let go. This turn of events was not entirely unexpected. DeLong and his crew had known that wintering in the ice pack was a very real possibility. They had planned for it, in fact. They had believed that should the ship become stuck in the claws of the ice, they would hunker down for a few months before the spring thaw released them again, hopefully into the seas of the north. Even still, the harsh reality of their situation left them in a constant state of anxiety. George DeLong took to his journal. He remarked this. He said, "We live in a weary suspense. Wintering in the pack may be a thrilling thing to read about, but the actual thing is sufficient to make any man prematurely old. A crisis may occur at any moment, and we can do nothing but be thankful it has not occurred yet." As their anxious wait in the ice began, the days grew shorter and colder until on November 16th, 1879, natural light disappeared altogether. For the next 71 days, the Jeannette and her crew would be cloaked in darkness as they endured their winter in the ice floe. The hope of the spring thaw was all that kept them through many a day, but their situation would become irreconcilably bleaker than they could have ever imagined. The grasp of the ice would not hold them for a few long months. No, for 2 years, the Jeannette remained tight in its grip. 2 years. 2 years of the sun coming and then disappearing for months at a time. 2 years of the same daily routine. 2 years of the same lousy diet, pemmican and concentrated lime juice. 2 years hoping a polar bear might pass by that they could make a meal out of. 2 years. And within these long and dreary years, the men in DeLong came to know the truth of the matter. There was no open sea further north. There was no prize, no land to discover. North was simply a godforsaken land of ice and snow. Their expedition was meaningless. 2 years for nothing. Would their ship ever be free? But then, around midnight, June 11th, 1881, something remarkable happened. While most of the crew slept, the ice opened up with a ragged crack and the Jeannette slipped into the water. After almost 2 years, the ship was floating. It was an incredible sensation for DeLong and his crew. They felt the boat once again in the water. The ice had released her grip. The promise of a journey home teasingly hung in front of them. The crew gave up a remarkably loud cheer, but their good fortune was short-lived. Nature seemed to be toying with them like a cat and mouse. Just hours after being released, floes began to close in around them again, but this time it was different. The ice delivered a terrific grinding, the pressure tightening with tremendous force. The sounds were horrendous, as though the Jeannette was being tortured and maimed. Minute by minute, the pressure intensified until a great fist of ice punctured the starboard side, piercing the vitals of the ship. Water and ice rushed into her hull until the call they had been dreading for 2 years finally came. "Abandon ship," cried DeLong. The crew raced to get as many provisions as they could off the ship before the ice had its way with her. DeLong's logs, the official papers of the Jeannette, and of course his journal, were wrapped in canvas and handed off the ship. Everywhere was the sound of ripping bolts, groaning lumber, yawning metal. The ship was in her death strokes. There was no more time. The men cleared the decks until it was just DeLong left on board. He seemed to linger as though he wanted a few minutes alone with his dying ship. As water rushed into her crippled frame, DeLong waved his cap as if in salute and said, "Goodbye, old ship." Then he jumped to the ice floe and watched with his crew as the ice devoured her. With the Jeannette gone, the men took stock of their situation. They only had 60 days worth of food and provisions. 60. They might gain a few more days if they killed and ate their dogs, but that was the end of it. Beyond the limited stores of food, they also faced the limits of time. There are only so many days left in the Arctic summer. For the first time, perhaps, the gravity of the situation dawned on DeLong. He and his men were staring a slow death in the face. They might die. Captain DeLong understood very well what needed to happen. They would have to reach Siberia before winter set in, before their supplies ran out. But between Siberia and where they stood were hundreds of miles of ice packs and floes, and hundreds of miles of open ocean beyond that. Their journey for the North Pole was done. Now they were racing to save their lives.